Part 1. Listening Comprehension. Section A. In this section, you will hear 5 short conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 20-second pause. During the pause, read the question and the 3 choices marked A, B, and C, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
1. This is your passbook. The interest rate will automatically adjust depending on how much you have in the account.
Oh, that's good. There's something else. I'd like to apply for a mortgage, please.
Certainly. I'll make you an appointment with our mortgage advisor.
2. Could you tell me whether people in Britain prefer to rent houses or buy them?
It's now bred into them that they should buy their house rather than rent it. Buying a property is seen as a very sound investment now.
It makes sense. 3. Rebecca Truman speaking.
This is Fox and Connor, the estate agents. I think we've found a house that you may be interested in. It's in Redhill, near the station, as you requested. It's a rather attractive 4-bedroomed, 1930s red brick property. It's in very good decorative order, with a fitted kitchen. Would you like to view it?
Yes, I think it's worth a look. 4. So you started your business with your best friend. Friends working in the same business could be a recipe for disaster.
Yes, so we kept warning ourselves of the danger, and we found later that we each brought what the other lacked.
Good for you. 5. I honestly think that a journalist's job is solely to convey to his or her readership as unambiguous a factual account of what's happening as possible.
You mean like a professional recorder of the news?
Yes, I think it's up to people themselves to decide their own point of view and then effect changes.
6. Section B. In this section, you will hear 2 long conversations. Each conversation will be read only once. At the end of each conversation, there will be a 1-minute pause. During the pause, read the questions, each with 3 choices marked A, B, and C, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
Conversation 1.
Today I'm talking to a writer who has recently published her first novel. Susan Moore, welcome to the program.
Nice to be here.
I'll start by asking you, what do you think makes a good book? I don't mean necessarily financially, but popular with readers.
It should have something that lifts the reader beyond the page. The story is the vehicle for wider understanding.
So you don't think it's enough for a book to be written just to entertain?
What I've tried to do in my novel is to be thought-provoking without losing the fun.
So you think it's good for readers to make their own pictures of what's happening?
Yes, and a good book has layers to it, like peeling an onion. And each layer tells you something more about the characters or life. You can reread at different times in your life, and it'll always have something new to say.
What did you find most difficult?
I think getting the time scale right. Because I don't have a chronological plot. It's more a series of flashbacks.
Well, good luck with your books, both written and unwritten.
Conversation 2.
Dr. Emily Gardiner is an economist from Lancashire University. She specializes in the study of cereal production in tropical areas. So, Dr. Gardiner, since you spent a lot of time abroad, you must have had some unusual experience.
Yes. Recently, I went on a 2-week trip to study the grain trade in a third world country. A few days after I arrived, my local guide and interpreter said that they didn't think we'd be able to go on our first trip to the east, because the main city was waist-deep in water, and the ferries that crossed the big rivers were unable to cross.
Then where did you go at last?
We went to the south instead. But after I arrived, the main rail link was cut off, and the lines were dangling limply into a really swollen river, which kept on rising.
How did it affect you? I mean, were you marooned?
The house where I was living was quite seriously affected. The first day, the water rose about 0.5 meter, and the children paddled in it. Many women fled from it, but were finally drowned, and then eaten by big black ants which invaded the house.
Were you able to get around? Did you have to take a boat?
No, I walked around without any shoes. At first, I was told that a lot of the deaths there have been because of snake bites. But we were quite a long way from the rice fields where the snakes abound, so I bargained on the fact that there wouldn't be too many.
Did you see what was happening in the poorer areas?
I did. The houses on the lower ground are really like tents made of rush matting supported by bamboo poles, and as the water gets deeper, people are forced to move to higher places, taking their houses with them.
And what about food supplies?
Well, it was quite impressive how they had managed to move all their stock well above flood level. The price of grain varied by about 100%.
Did the government take some measures to control the price?
Yes, it tried to sell some of its stock on the open market at low prices in a vain effort to bring down prices. And meanwhile, it organized soup kitchens in conjunction with local charities.
How did you manage to get out? Because the airport was underwater for a lot of the time.
I only got out because there happened to be a spare seat on a flight. Anyway, it was one of the most spirited takeoffs I've ever had.
But you lived to tell the tale.
Yes.
Section C. In this section, you will hear 5 short news items. After each item, which will be read only once, there will be a pause. During the pause, read the question and the 3 choices marked A, B, and C, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on the answer sheet with a single line through the center.
16. The top prize of the prestigious Cannes Film Festival in France, the Palme d'Or, has been awarded to the film Amour by the Australian director Michael Haneke. Michael Haneke's Love, or Amour, takes place in the apartment of an old couple as their lives reach their ends. Despite the gloomy-sounding theme, it was very well received by critics in Cannes. Michael Haneke won the Palme d'Or with The White Ribbon in 2009 and now joins the likes of Francis Ford Coppola as a 2-time winner of the top prize.
A proposal to declare the South Atlantic Sanctuary for Whales has been defeated at the International Whaling Commission, despite backing from most countries of the meeting. The Latin American plan failed to get the 2/3 majority required. Environmental groups expressed disappointment at the outcome, but a BBC correspondent says some suggested in private that the idea had been merely symbolic, as there's no whaling taking place in the region.
There's been a roller coaster day of trading in shares in the social networking site Facebook, after one of the world's biggest ever business flotations. Facebook shares jumped by more than 10% within minutes of making their stock market debut on New York's NASDAQ exchange, but they later dropped back to close just 23 cents above their initial offering price. It's early days yet, but this won't be seen as a good start.
The British Prime Minister David Cameron has announced a new inquiry into the banking sector following the revelations about interest rate manipulation by Barclays Bank. The inquiry will be carried out by a parliamentary committee and will hold most of its meetings in public. The announcement of the inquiry comes in response to a barrage of criticism aimed at the banking industry in recent days. Other global banks are suspected of similar offenses. The review will be carried out by members of both houses of the British Parliament, and they will have the power to question witnesses under oath, including sitting MPs.
Scientists at a German research institute say satellite data from Global Positioning Systems, or GPS, could be used to provide much faster tsunami warnings. The scientists say they've analyzed data gathered from over 500 GPS stations at the time a devastating earthquake hit Japan in March 2011. They say it could have been used to predict both the correct magnitude of the quake and the size of the resultant tsunami in just 3 to 4 minutes, faster than the traditional methods.
Beep.
Section D. In this section, you will hear a radio talk about some stories of criminals around the world. The talk will be read only once. For question 21 to 30, complete the notes which summarize what the speaker says. You will need to write a word or a short phrase. Remember to write the answers on the answer sheet.
At 7:20 p.m. on May 6, 1937, the world's largest airship, the Hindenburg, floated majestically over Lakehurst Airport, New Jersey, after an uneventful crossing from Germany. There were 97 people on board for the first Atlantic crossing of the season. Suddenly, radio listeners heard the commentators screaming, "Oh my God, it's broken into flames! It's flashing terribly!" 32 seconds later, the airship had disintegrated, and 35 people were dead. The age of the airship was over. The Hindenburg was the last in a series of airships which had been developed over 40 years in both Europe and the United States. They were designed to carry passengers and cargo over long distances. The Hindenburg could carry 50 passengers accommodated in 25 luxury cabins with all the amenities of a first-class hotel. All the cabins had hot and cold water and electric heating. There was a dining room, a bar, and a lounge with a dance floor and a baby grand piano. The Hindenburg had been built to compete with the great luxury transatlantic liners. It was 245 meters long with a diameter of 41 meters. It could cruise at a speed of 125 kilometers an hour and was able to cross the Atlantic in less than half the time of a liner. By 1937, it had carried 1,000 passengers safely and had even transported circus animals and cars. The Hindenburg was filled with hydrogen, which is a highly flammable gas, and every safety precaution had been taken to prevent accidents. It had a smoking room which was pressurized in order to prevent gas from ever entering it. Both passengers and crew were searched for cigarette lighters and matches before entering the ship. Special materials, which were used in the construction of the airship, had been chosen to minimize the possibility of accidental sparks, which might cause an explosion. Nobody knows the exact cause of the Hindenburg disaster. Sabotage has been suggested, but experts at the time believed that it was caused by leaking gas, which was ignited by static electricity. The most surprising thing is that 62 people managed to escape. The fatalities were highest among the crew, many of whom were working deep inside the airship. After the Hindenburg disaster, all airships were grounded and, until recently, they have never been seriously considered as a commercial proposition.